Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. The all-new Opel Mokka. With a new visor front face and pure panel interior, this is Opel.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
When we think of conspiracy theorists, we often think of people who perhaps are isolated or living on the fringes of society. Yet over the past year, families and friends have sometimes had to confront those closest to them whose views on everything from 5G to COVID have been informed by misguided social media posts. So, how do you talk to a family member who has gone down a COVID conspiracy rabbit hole? Brian O'Connell has been looking at this. Good morning, Brian.
Morning, Claire.
First things first, conspiracy theories are nothing new.
Yes, I mean, we've always had the likes of anti-vax, anti-5G, far-right conspiracy communities. And I suppose they existed as distinct groupings before COVID in many cases. But I think what COVID has done, it's allowed some people who believe in these different unproven theories to unite behind a single issue. And social media has obviously played a significant role here and has hugely fueled the dissemination of these theories and groups. Algorithms are pushing certain material into people's news feeds every single day. And while it's still a minority of people who hold these views, I think you're right in saying we're not talking anymore about people on the fringes in darkened rooms. I mean, these are people, some of them who go about their day-to-day normal lives, working on the front line, for example, but they're finding like-minded people online to amplify their beliefs. And the worry is that some of them may retain these beliefs long after COVID leaves us.
And you've been meeting and talking to some people who are struggling with some of the beliefs that those close to them have taken on during the pandemic.
Exactly. Now, let's begin with one of those I spoke to, who was Sean. And Sean has seen some people he knows quite well push COVID conspiracy theories during the past 12 months.
I've come across friends and family who seem to have like just fallen down this rabbit hole of these kind of current COVID-related conspiracy theories. And like, I've watched close families, especially on Facebook, they seem to like, share and comment and all sorts of, what I just say is nonsense, Bill Gates, 5G vaccines and whatnot. I feel bad for them because on the one hand, like the lockdowns, they've been really hard on everyone.
Are these people, are these family members and friends that you would have had concerns about previously before COVID?
To be honest, no. For the most part, I would have said they would have kind of stuck on the news and believed most of what they've seen. But now it really seems to have turned complete 180, I suppose. They don't trust half of what that's been said anymore. It's just like they're ruled by the mob on Facebook, honestly, nowadays. It's a bit mad to me to see. The longer this goes on, I feel like the more people seem to be falling into this and not caring about guidelines and restrictions. One person I know, I remember at the start of this pandemic, it was very much the case of OTT, over the top, like the food shop was getting cleaned when you came in. Shoes were all getting wiped down and taken off. Phones were getting wiped down. And this person now has flat out refused this vaccine. They don't trust in it at all. They don't believe in it. Whereas before, at the start of the pandemic, they would have been praying for it to have come one day.
What kind of ways do you tackle it?
I find it really difficult to try and debate with someone that, from my point of view, just doesn't believe a credible or a reliable source. I don't know what can be done about it. It'll be an issue, I think, that'll carry on for a good few years.
Does it put a strain on those friendships that you had?
Oh, for sure.
So Brian mentioned there of the online platforms and how people can actively now join communities who support their views.
Well, essentially what we're talking about really is a case of digital confirmation bias. So what I mean by that is people are picking and choosing what information suits them and then ignoring anything that doesn't quite fit their narrative. So the internet, obviously, and social media companies are designed in a way that allow you to fall down these rabbit holes quite easily. And algorithms are designed to push you towards more content that would match your interests. I also spoke to Katie. Katie is studying for a master's and she too has noticed some people she knows have also gone down COVID conspiracy theory rabbit holes. I began by asking Katie, how does she respond when she hears people around her express these views?
I was kind of asking, like, why? Where are you getting this information from? Who said that? You know, because some fella said it on Facebook who's sitting in a dark room doesn't mean it's true.
Isn't the worrying thing, Katie, how for some people the far-fetched has now become the reality, if you like, in their
yeah.
mind?
Obviously, with the likes of Facebook and stuff, you can just go on and you can generally kind of write whatever you want. And I know now they have changed, and you mentioned like COVID, especially on Instagram, it'll say for the latest information, click here and it'll bring you to the HC or whatever.
Yeah.
So they are trying to stop it, but I think it's still very much kind of, you can just say what you want.
So it must be very interesting for you to see people you've known all your life suddenly, you know, accepting at face value some pretty radical views.
So I've always been brought up to be questioning things and to say, well, okay, is it coming from a reliable source or is it just coming from some random fella on Facebook? One friend in particular would be quite suspicious of the whole thing. We just kind of think, oh, sure, look, there he's kind of off again. But I won't say we avoid it, but I'll like question him and he'll come back with something else. And then it's just kind of, we go around and around, but it doesn't really get anywhere.
Facts have become so disputed.
You can't really argue with facts that much either. I mean, unless you've gone to study, you know, human biology or chemistry or something, you know.
Well, sure, everybody on Twitter has a PhD in one of the sciences, don't they?
That's Katie there. And Brian, from what you've discovered, conspiracy theories during a pandemic are nothing new.
Exactly. Marion McGarry in GMIT has done some great work looking at conspiracy theories and how they often crop up during pandemics. Now, long before social media, during the cholera pandemic of 1832, many people believed cholera had been invented by the rich to wipe out poorer communities. Brandy or whiskey mixed with ginger was thought to be a good cure for cholera, and a number of quack doctors made fortunes from selling mixtures such as cholera remedies that weren't effective at all. So as you can see, during pandemics, it does strike fear, and then you do have people who latch on to these beliefs.
And part of the research into all of this comes up with a profile of people who are more likely to believe these theories.
Exactly. Lockdown has impacted people profoundly, I suppose, the longer it goes on. And I'm sure we all know people whose otherwise rational views have become irrational. Now, I was looking for some data around this and I came across work carried out by Dr. Joanne McVeigh in Maynooth University. She's pointed to a recent study on the profile of conspiracy theorists. And it was found actually that younger rather than older individuals, people with a lower level of education, people in employment rather than students, all more likely to believe in conspiracy theories. Explanations, as well as people who would perhaps be economically disadvantaged. Someone who knows a lot about this area is Aoife Gallagher. She's an analyst for the Institute for Strategic Dialogue. And Aoife believes that the level of disinformation has multiplied over the past year. And she's also issued Claire a word of caution in relation to the political direction of some of these groups.
I think before the pandemic, we wouldn't really have been used to this level of disinformation that we'd see online. Conspiratorial thinking increases when people feel uncertain or when they feel angry or scared or distrustful. So the pandemic has really, it's kind of created a perfect storm for conspiracy theories to take hold. The issue isn't with people asking questions, it's actually where they're going for the answers. And then the prevailing theme really among a lot of the people within these groups is that the pandemic is all part of a plot by governments to control their populations. You know, conspiracy theories tend to give people simple solutions to very complicated situations.
And I suppose, isn't it a factor too, Aoife, that people are having less contact with real people in real life? They're more inclined to form these kinships online than they mightn't have before.
Yeah, exactly. And when I talk about, you know, anti-lockdown communities, that's exactly what they are. They are communities.
I mean, it's such a hard one, isn't it, if you have a close friend or if you have a family member who's gone down one of these rabbit holes?
Yeah, I mean, it is very difficult, to be honest. And, you know, the default reaction, I think, for a lot of people is to call people crazy and call people stupid and things like that. And that is the opposite, really, of what you should be doing, because that's just going to push people away further. What you often find is that, you know, either people that believe in conspiracy theories or people that don't, they often have the same anxiety. I think trying to reach a level of, you know, saying to someone, yes, I'm worried about that as well. What do you think is going on? Okay, well, here's what I think is going on. And getting them to question their own belief systems in some ways.
And you'd have to say the social media companies were very slow to put in explainers and to put in fact checks, weren't they?
I don't know. In some ways, I think that is a bit of a game of whack-a-mole and you're putting a plaster on a gushing wound when you're, you know, doing things like that. The issue is with their business model. They find the content that keeps people glued to screens, which is things like conspiracy theories, things that make people kind of angry and anxious and make people kind of want to find out more. So that's really the issue when it comes to the platforms.
And to what extent, Aoife, is this just a moment in time, do you think?
I think that's a good question. And I often don't really like to speculate about what the future holds. I think that I've been looking at these movements specifically in a US context, really, for the past number of years, I would have worries and anxieties about these movements leading people towards more extremist movements. You know, the COVID skeptic and anti-lockdown movement, they would never consider themselves to be far right, and they're not far right. But at the end of the day, what I'm seeing within these groups is that they are consuming far right content.
Some good advice there, Brian, from Aoife Gallagher. It's very difficult, though, we all know, to try and dissuade people who have formed these views. I know you asked Facebook for comment. What did they say?
I actually didn't get a direct response, but I noted an investigation by the Bureau of Investigative Journalism recently, and it found more than 100 COVID conspiracy accounts on Instagram, which of course is owned by Facebook. Now, Facebook has previously said it would work to stop users profiting from misinformation, and it has insisted in the past it's taking more robust action.
Brian, thank you very much for that report, and we'll have more on conspiracy theories in the pandemic tonight on Clare Byrne Live, RT1 Television at 10:35. Now, coming up, as some sport and training starts back, we'll be getting advice on how to avoid injuries from physio Jenny Branigan.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.